I'm not what you'd call a patient person. I'm sure I have other strengths, but let's just say I'm working on that one.
I am so sorry. No,
it's, yeah, go ahead.
No,
I insist. But I've started to realize that when something happens that really...
Oh, I am so sorry.
...provokes my impatience, there's probably something there I should pay attention to.
What's the price on that?
$319.
Oh, wait. I have a coupon for that one. I know what's in here. Hold on. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. What was the price on that one?
$4.
Oh, you could take that one off. I don't need that one.
$145.
Oh my goodness. She's price checking a bar of soap. And that's when I realized. She's price checking a bar of soap. She needs these things, and she doesn't have enough to pay for them. And then it hit me. I've been her. Anxious. Not over money. Anxious over my soul. I've been scared because I know that I need so much more than I have, and I don't have near enough for what I need. I won't ever have enough. Because none of us do. No matter what we do, no matter how many coupons we produce, no matter how we try to make up the difference when we do the math, we all fall short. So thank God. Thank God that his son came along and said,
I'll pay for it.
No.
I'll pay for all of it.
I can't let you do that.
Please, please. I want to. Will you let me pay for all this?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. But I have coupons. I have coupons.
Hey.
I have coupons.
You can put away your coupons. You don't need them. It's all completely covered. All of it.
Thank you.
Wow, that was an incredible opener. Well, good morning, and hopefully you are doing well. For those watching and listening online, we want to say thank you for taking the time to do that. For those in the room, man, thanks for being here. I want to start with a story, if I can. Sarah, and we changed her name, is a single mom, and she had to work two jobs to make ends meet. Every month was a struggle, and she often felt overwhelmed by the financial pressures of raising her kids alone. Now, she frequently found herself saying, I just don't have enough. So the next Sunday, forgetting that the sermon was about generosity, her pastor spoke about the importance of generosity and how it can be a blessing not only to the receiver, but also to the giver. So Sarah felt this tug on her heart, but she dismissed it, thinking, I can barely cover my bills, how can I give? A few days later, Sarah received an unexpected bonus at her second job, and though it wasn't a big amount, it was enough to make her consider what the pastor said. So she decided to take a leap of faith, set aside a small portion of her bonus to give to her church, who was supporting a local charity that provided meals for the homeless. At first, Sarah was very nervous and unsure. But she did it, and then she saw the immediate impact of her contribution, how it helped feed dozens of people in need. She felt a sense of joy and fulfillment that she's never experienced before. So she was encouraged by that, and so she decided to make small and regular contributions to the church whenever she could. As Sarah continued to give, something remarkable happened. She began to notice that despite her tight budget, her needs were consistently met. She never went without. Unexpected discounts, small bonuses, small raises, even the generosity of her friends and family seemed to come her way at just the right time. The most remarkable thing is Sarah felt a sense of contentment and purpose by giving. So Sarah's story began to spread to her friends. You know, what's going on with you? You seem different. And they also felt that they didn't have enough, and they started to reconsider that they had something to give. See, she learned that generosity isn't about the amount you have, but the heart with which you give. Like, have you ever felt that way, that you don't have enough like Sarah? Do you currently feel that way, that you don't have enough? A couple of weeks ago, we were ending our camp, and man, I had gone, man, 8 straight weeks working 75 to 80 hours. We were going into our last week, and we were at our midway point, and I actually had a meeting with our elder team, and I would say they're like our directional leaders in our church, and they're the ones that, with me, we guard our organization. And I was edgy in that meeting, and just one of them looked over at me and said, "What is going on?" And I just broke down. Because during those months, a month leading into camp and the 2 months into camp, man, I had so many conversations with people, those who follow Jesus and those who haven't followed Jesus yet, and they felt that they just didn't have enough. Everyone with whom I talked to, man, they were smart, upper middle class wage earners. I mean, they wanted to do more with what they have, but they just felt like they didn't have enough. Now, as I talk with some of these families more in depth than I did with others, I mean, this wanting to do more wasn't able to happen because it seemed that it had to do with maybe inflation. Others, it was managing a budget. Others, it had to do with emotional spending. Some of it had to do with sports, dance, childcare. And some of it had to do with just not being on the same page as their spouse. And it just broke my heart. So in this series, we'll learn that sometimes what seems insignificant at first can actually become an overflow. So it might seem insignificant to cut something out of the budget. It might seem insignificant to have an hour-long conversation with your spouse. It might seem insignificant to not spend money on something that you're ready to go get, but you really haven't maybe pumped the brakes. It might seem insignificant to give a percent of what you make to the local church. But I believe that it may seem insignificant, but it actually could become an overflow. See, something happens inside of us when we give to express what God has done for us. God has been so generous to us. And when we see that and we recognize that, it actually overflows into we can't help ourselves but to be generous like God is generous to us. So my hope today is that our mindset for generosity changes from not enough to enough. That everything is mine to everything is God's. And I'll give when I have enough to I have enough to get started. And so for those who often wonder why we address certain topics instead of going through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, which sometimes we do. And in fact, you'll see me go verse by verse in just a portion of it. And the reason why is because our New Testament is a product of apostles addressing topics that local churches were and still are struggling with. The whole series Overflow comes from this one particular letter in our New Testament. It was written by Paul to a local church. Now, here's the big takeaway from Paul. Not only back then, but also today. Generosity is trusting God with what you have and becoming like him. That's what generosity is. Notice how Paul addresses one local church stepped up for another local church. He writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." See, God gave unmerited or unable to work for or earn favor to these followers of Jesus in these local churches. And we're going to see really what that looks like, because Paul then explains how they experience God's grace. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So these local churches in Macedonia example to other local churches that even in their own extreme circumstances of what we see poverty, their mindset changed from "we don't have enough" to "enough." Like, it might be natural for us to think, well, back then they didn't have what we had today. Believe it or not, we have a lot in common with living in the Roman Empire around 45 AD. Like, trade and economy were booming back then. And there was a network of roads and sea routes that would allow commerce to get across the Mediterranean into the Roman Empire. So goods as far as Asia and Africa would actually flow into the Roman markets. It really was like a small global economy. You think about us. We are a global economic powerhouse where we have goods and products coming in. There was also a diverse population back then. The empire was a melting pot of cultures, ethnicities, and languages because they were expanding their territory. In America, we have a lot of diversity. Our population comprises of various ethnicities, cultures, and languages because of immigration and globalization. But then here's some things that changed. Communication back then was difficult. It was slow. Not everyone could read or write. In America, communication is instant, and most people can read and write. We also have technology that is different than what they had back then. We have better health care, and that's where it leads to standard of living. Back then, life expectancy was low. Health care was rudimentary, and many lived in poverty. Like, there was a huge gap between the elite and the lower class. There was no middle class. Here, we have higher life expectancy, we have advanced health care, and we have higher living standards. And so even though there's a gap between the elite and even the middle class, we all have the ability to have a better quality of life because of our, you know, higher life expectancy, advanced health care, and just overall living standards. Here's what I don't want you to miss. The local churches in Macedonia example to other local churches that despite their hardship, they had an abundance of joy because of what God was doing in and through them. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "When you have experienced the grace of God in your life, you will not use difficult circumstances as an excuse for not giving." Paul continues, he says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." See, their giving was in response to the grace they received from God. It was the grace of God that they experienced every day. And see, for those who had a Jewish background, it was directed to give to one's ability, but they went beyond this by giving so that others would have something. So another way we could say this is they gave what was possible, then gave what seemed impossible. See, they were empowered beyond their ability. And even in their own extreme circumstances, their mindset changed from "we don't have enough" to "enough." It required sacrifice, and they were willing to sacrifice. They said no to things that would have made their life easier in their extreme poverty. Like, have you ever wondered if their standard of living, like they had limited options if they were sick, people didn't live as long, many lived as slaves, so the quality of life was low. Have you ever wondered if the standard of living changed their mindset from not enough to enough because they were actually living for a different kingdom. They were living for Jesus' kingdom. See, they were living with different values of a different king. Paul continues, he says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. Like, it was obvious that the Holy Spirit was working in and through them. It's not normal to beg to give away your money, especially when you have needs of your own. This past summer, I had two camp families approach me at the last week of camp. They're unconnected to church, for far as I know, and they approached me about giving money to our church. I did a double take. I had to ask multiple times if they were serious because I was so caught off guard because I've never heard of that before. And I asked several times to make sure I was hearing them right because it never happens. And I know that both families had needs. Because getting back to the Macedonian church, through the change of their mindset from not enough to enough, they became eager to give. See, they had a desire to give because they experienced God's grace. And whether it was through God providing basic needs like food or shelter and not dying when getting sick, or maybe God allowed them to produce enough crops or wine, they recognized God's grace in their lives. They couldn't wait to reflect His generosity to others. See, the people in the local churches of Macedonia resisted the belief that they didn't have enough because it was rooted in a scarcity mindset. See, a scarcity mindset makes us focused on what we lack rather than what we have. Some of you know that I grew up on a farm and we had a dog. The dog was Buster, and every time we fed Buster, we had to back up because, I mean, Buster would eat like he hadn't eaten before. Like, he wasn't even taking a breath. It was like, rrr. There was this aggressiveness when it came to his food. And I was reading this article from Jen Karanick entitled, "What to Do When Your Dog Steals and Guards Items." In fact, this is what she writes. "Dogs find a variety of things valuable, from food to your favorite sweater. But some might growl, stiffen, lunge, or even bite you when you go near or try to retrieve something from them. Called resource guarding in dogs, this behavior is a valuable instinct for feral dogs because it allows them to survive on limited means in the wild. But it's not such a great trait for domesticated animals." Buster knew, like, here's what Buster didn't know. Buster didn't know that we had enough food to give him. Like, there, we had tons of food to give him. Like, our family was not interested in eating what he was eating. But the dog didn't understand that. Like, my dog didn't understand that. Our dogs don't understand that. See, the instincts of self-preservation are in full effect. The same could be true for you and I. We get greedy and stingy because we worry that there just might not be enough to go around. See, the people in the local churches in Macedonia focused on not a scarcity mindset, but an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset allows us to change from "I'll give when I can" or "I'll give when I have enough" to "I have enough to get started." And this abundance mindset is developed in us through the Holy Spirit, who reveals and reminds us that God has shared His resources with His people. And He's even shared His resources with those who reject Him. See, generosity starts with a change in perspective. Instead of asking, "Do I have enough to give?" ask, "What can I give with what I have?" It's just like what Jesus taught on the widow's offering in Mark 12:41-44. The widow gave all that she had. And Jesus commended her not for the amount, but for the heart and faith behind her giving. Like, her mindset was, it wasn't that I don't have enough. It was, I have enough to give and share. So here's the practical tips from shifting from a not enough to enough mindset. First, recognize the evidence of God's grace in your life. Like when we just call a timeout and we take time to recognize what we have, we often find we have more than we thought. When we see the evidence, there's a change in our mindset from everything is mine to everything is God's. According to Jesus' brother, James, every good and perfect gift comes from above, James 1:17. Number two, trust in God to provide your needs. When you and I recognize the evidence of God's provision and faithfulness, our mindset shifts from everything is mine to everything is God's. And this shift means we understand that we are stewards or managers of the resources God has entrusted to us. Like we are responsible for managing these resources wisely and faithfully. So think about a financial advisor. Think of your financial advisor. When you entrust money to your financial advisor, you are trusting them to manage it on your behalf. So they make investments, they allocate resources, and they ensure that your money grows. Now, as they do their job well, more money comes in each month on the returns from those investments. Now, this continuous flow of resources provides your financial advisor salary, further investments, right? In a similar way, when we manage God's resources faithfully, He continues to provide for us. We are not owners of those resources, He is. Our role is to use what He gives us wisely, trusting that He will continue to supply what we need. What that means is we need to manage God's resources responsibly and knowing that when we do that, His provision will continue. Like we're trusting God's endless supply to meet our needs. So according to Paul, who wrote another letter to another local church struggling with a similar situation, he writes that God will supply all our needs according to His riches, Philippians 4:19. Number three, start small and grow from there. The act of giving, even in small amounts, can shift from the scarcity mindset to the abundance mindset. A helpful practice is talking with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your small group leader, or a friend about incremental growth in your giving. Like having someone alongside of you helps with encouragement. It's just like working out, right? You start small, a light workout, and then you add as your strength builds. And lastly, focus on impact, not amount. Generosity is less about the amount we have and more about the condition of our hearts and the perspective we hold. Like for those who currently tithe, like you give 10% of your income to the local church, like that's important to budgeting and managing God's resources, but it's not the stopping point, right? Remember that the people in the local churches in Macedonia gave what was possible for them to give, but then they gave what seemed impossible. It's just like the boy who had a small lunch with 2 fish and 5 loaves and it fed thousands in John 6. When we give to Jesus, He's able to do more than we can imagine with our giving. So there's three things I want us to think about today. Number one, in what area of your life do you feel or believe that you don't have enough? How are you managing God's resources to you? Do you manage as if they're unending? And number three, what step do I need to take to grow in my giving? Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for your grace. That if we call a timeout and we look in our life, we are able to see all the good things that you've done for us, how you've met our needs, how sometimes you've even given us some extra for things that we want. Father, I thank you so much that the greatest gift that we have is salvation, that we've been made right with you when we confess our sins, believe that Jesus took our place, He died on our behalf, and then He rose from the dead. When we believe that, we are made right with you. And there's so much generosity to that. Thank you for being so generous to us. Father, help us to look at ways how we could be generous to others. Help us to go from I don't have enough to I have enough to get started. Help us to go from everything is mine to everything is actually yours. Lord, prepare our heart for generosity. In Jesus' name.